All right, folks, you're about to get into that interview. It is down here. Saying good afternoon to you, Ram Sarup.
Good afternoon to you, B's. Good afternoon to Trinidad and Tobago and those that are listening regionally and internationally.
Right. Well, yeah, you had to turn on your radio, Ram Sarup. You can't talk to me and hear your radio up at the same time. I know you might want to hear yourself, but you know, you had to turn on your radio.
I don't have any access to any radio.
Oh, okay, anymore. Okay, all right, okay. Well, it was getting a little feedback there. All right, yes, cool, yes. Nice. So, so how are you going today, sir?
Well, it's quiet. I'm glad to have the opportunity to be on this interview. Thank you very much. Hi to Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice for Melissa for taking it up. All right, so tell us a little bit about yourself. Of course, you are visually impaired. You prefer the term visually impaired or blind? Is blind or offensive?
Well, you know, people use visually, you know, some consider, when you say the term blind, it might be harsh to some.
Yeah.
So, but I it depends how, I mean, I don't really have a problem with it to see, because it means the same thing.
Yeah,
you know?
You're blind. Just, I don't know why people think it's offensive, you know. But how were you born blind?
So what happened is I was born premature, and being born premature, I was placed into something called an incubator. So anytime a baby is born premature,
right,
they will put into one of those equipment so they would develop themselves. And in that process, my eyes was left unprotected. That whenever you put premature baby in an incubator, it's supposed to cover their eyes.
Right, okay.
Because you would be exposed to elements like the light and so on. I remember as a baby, you are developing. So any little effect, it could affect you big time. So my eyes being exposed to the element, oxygen went into my eyes, and the optic nerve was damaged as a result of my eyes being left open to the element.
So you are blind due to negligence?
Yes, I can see that.
Okay.
So because of not, and it's not the first case of that. So me, this happening to me, it would have happened to others. And even if you check it out, those with disabilities besides being visually impaired and so on, simple things as when you're delivering a child and, you know, things like that, you know, the care you're supposed to take when doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and you check how persons develop disabilities, simple things like that.
Yeah, what hospital was this at? Where?
This happened at Montaube in 1981.
Montaube in 1981. Wow. I was sorry to hear that, man. But of course, I mean, you lived a life. I mean, how was life for you growing up?
Life, not being able to see. But I try to make the best of it, even though not having your sight. At times, I would have my moments in the sense of, you know, when you observe that your other peers doing things that you're not able to do, and you would think about that, and that would be on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It will get you down at times and so on. But I still tried my best to enjoy things in my own way. So I played, I ran outside, had little falls and little incidents. Nothing to end up in the hospital, thank God for that. But I did play road bikes and all these other things. So my childhood wasn't any different from someone who was sighted or otherwise. The only thing with not having your sight is just that you have to be careful and moving around and all these other things, because you could easily injure yourself because you're not seeing your environment. But I didn't let that really get the better of me of not wanting to play or so on, because of, you know, I wasn't really studying that, the fact that I'm not able to see. I just wanted to get out there like everybody else.
Yeah.
And play and enjoy myself and so on.
I know. How was school for you? What school you went to, or schools you went to? Were you bullied in school? I mean, how was things in school for you?
So I went to special school before, which would have been the School for the Visually Impaired in Santa Cruz, or the Blind in Santa Cruz. They're now at a different location and so on. But as you're speaking about bullying and so on, I can tell you that bullying, it wasn't as bad as it is now, because it's very, very different. Because I can tell you now that, you know, a long time, if you want someone had something, you know, you patch that up and your friends are getting that. But now if you want someone have something, it's like they holding that in mind and they waiting at the appropriate time to attack you, and it's like to like deal with that, then get that off their chest somehow. So it's like, you know, I ain't forget here with what happened, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
It's so, like they whenever after school or however, they don't want to deal with you that kind of way. So it's like you want to try your best now as a student not to try and get into anybody's way, and even at times that you don't have to do anybody anything, you know, because you're just minding your business.
Yeah.
And just because for you being quiet, being yourself, not following the crowd, there are those who would have a problem with that. Once they can get you to do what they want you to do, they have a problem with that. So they will come and take advantage of you being quiet. And you see that a lot.
Mm. Yeah, man. So how do you in terms of your education, have you ever been, I guess it's hard to get a job. I mean, what do you live off of, the disability grant, anything?
Yes, I get that job wise, as it's very hard. Although you qualified and meet and capable of doing things, I mean, I have done broadcasting, and you know, I've had a little conversation with you when we
met. So you're qualified, and you went to broadcasting school. You could be on radio.
Yes. I did with one of the best. You know, big up to Percy Parker.
Percy Parker, boy. Yeah, man. All right, okay. So you could do radio. So I mean, in terms of that, have you ever sent out a demo anywhere or anything to any radio station?
Well, I haven't done any demos to say, but one or two would have had opportunities, and I was given an opportunity to be on air and so on.
Mm.
But when it came to the final product of choosing, the quote unquote able body had an advantage over me, because I mean, the thing in this country, because when it comes to employing persons with disabilities, we are at a disadvantage, because the system is like no one is obligated to cater for us in any way. So it's up to whoever if they feel to do that. And we are more seen more or less as a liability than being an asset, than being valuable, that could contribute to society. And talking about that, I want to say kudos to those who are contributing to society, which you're not hearing about. Mm-hmm. There are people with disabilities that are doing things quietly and are contributing to society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and more could be done for us. I mean, the disability grant, $2,000.
Guys, what the disability grant is, $2,000?
Yes, it is $2,000, and it may sound plenty, but based on the cost of living and everything is going up.
Yeah.
And that somebody cannot live with $2,000. Mm. I mean, we're grateful for it, but come on. You can't survive on $2,000.
And how, I mean, in terms of your money, you have to save any money? What expenses do you have when the month comes?
Expenses, moving around, because there are times that the public transport, when I don't get them, so I would travel at times. I mean, that service and all, it needs to be reliable, which unfortunately is not reliable. I mean, nothing for special needs in this country works as a child. You know, you were asking about education and all these things. What about teachers that cater to special ed? There's not even enough special ed teachers to deal with special needs in any systems. Not enough.
All right. So I met you there at Nalis. You like to go and read. Tell us about that. I mean, you want to go and read. They have books. They have Braille books for you to read and stuff.
Oh, yeah, books in Braille. There is also computer access with software. I want to say hi to the folks at Nalis. You know, great job in catering for special needs. And, I mean, if it's one thing they treat me, it's really nice. I'd be like, don't have a problem with them at all. They have a wonderful relationship. So the computer has software-based and the listening public. It's audio, so meaning that you're able to hear what is being read out to you.
Okay.
So it's the software is audio-based.
Like an audio book, right.
Yeah, so you can hear.
Right.
So it's similar to what I have on my phone. There's an application that does the same thing. I'm using an ordinary phone, by the way.
Yeah.
And the application is attached to it, so it's just a matter of going into the phone and putting it on. So when you buy the phone, it's turned off by default. So you just go into the settings now and you turn the app on and you're able to use the phone. And you don't necessarily need the internet for it to work.
That's good, man. So when I text you, you're able to get a text. Anybody message you, you're able to get a message.
Yes, so like when you message, it read it all to me. Well, I mean, sometimes you send a text or a voice note. Well, if in the case of a voice note, I just click the play button and I want to hear the voice note. And well, if it's a text, it's going to read it all to me. And I have the phone now set up in a way that even though the screen is off, I am able to hear the messages as they come.
All right, good. Well, thanks for that technology. A lot of people may not be able to use that technology, but you seem to be, you're very tech savvy and up to the time with things. Oh, there's noise, man.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that when it comes to technology and special needs, it has broken down a lot of barriers and allowing us to participate in society, and I'm really grateful for that. So we can be on the internet, we can socialize, we can move around using, you know, the phone and the computer and thing, which is really, really wonderful. I am happy for that.
Nice. So the day I met you, you were telling me how somebody stole your phone. Now, without calling the person's name, please don't call the person's name or anything, but tell me about that situation.
Tell me about
that story where the person stole that phone from you.
Yes. Well, the update with that right now is that police are investigating. So all I want to say with that aspect, I want to urge the police to really, really catch that person and do what they have to do. So one Tuesday afternoon, I was at the library as usual, and the elder most service, they didn't come for me for some reason or the other. There are times they would, there are times they don't. And one afternoon, I left the library. So normally I would travel. So it's not the first time I travel. I'm accustomed to doing this. So I left the library and I was heading towards City Gate. So when I would have reached in the vicinity of Royal Bank just to cross by KFC there, somewhere in that vicinity that a young lady, she approached me and was like, "Where are you going to?" And she was very polite and nice and everything, and she pretended that she was helping me, you know, that she wanted to help me and so on. And I didn't take it as anything, but I was also not taken for granted how people would use your disability to their advantage. But I didn't want it to be negative, as I was telling you, when we were chatting, when we had met. So we started talking while I was walking with her and so on. And then all of a sudden, when we reached around by City Gate facility there, things changed and she started act up and, you know, proceeding to put her hands in my pocket and be like, "Well, you know, give me all what you have, and if you don't give me, you know, what you have, I'll hurt you," and all that kind of thing. And, you know, she talked about taking my life, and if anybody knows about this, then, you know, her whole thing is she don't want what she did get out there to anybody. And if I were to tell anybody, or it just end up in any kind of media or that kind of thing, she didn't want to that. I mean, I wasn't scared or anything, because the worst thing to do in any situation like that is to panic, because, you know, you just make things worse for yourself. So I just went along quietly, but I kept calm, and I said, you know what, as much as I, you know what it is to go through to get what you want and for somebody to want these things from you, I say, you know what, somehow you will get back these things. Just give it to her, and, you know, because I didn't want any violence or any kind of thing to happen to me. So I said, you know what, if this is what she wants, so I told her, I said, I'll give you what you want. Don't bother to, you know, put your hands in my pocket and so on. So all what she wanted, I ended up giving it to her. And, you know, after that, she still were trying to see if I had any more. So I told her, I said, I already give you what I have. So after that happened, and I was asking her, I said, well, how it is that I'm going to get back home now after not having any money? So she was like, your parents had money and all these other things, that, but she still ended up giving me back some. And she walked with me to get a maxi. So when the maxi stopped, no, I got in. And I was telling the driver what happened and so on. So she told the driver that it's only for one person, meaning me. So she didn't come into the maxi. But when I went into the maxi, I told him what happened, and I asked for a description. So I asked if anybody could give me a description of the individual, and they were able to give me a description of her. So when I reached in San Juan, I went to the police post in San Juan, and they took me to Barter because they don't do police reports there. So they were really nice to me and so on. So they took me to Barter where I reported. So they're working on that right now. So I'm really hoping that something really comes out of it. And I mean, it's not the first time this happened to, you know, those with disability, because crime does affect persons with disabilities. You know, some years ago, you know, a similar incident happened to, you know, another person as well. And even at, I think, even at home, someone who I went to school with was robbed. See, so people, it's not how people would use your disability to their advantage to hurt you.
Yeah.
That's where we reach as a society.
But despite that, I mean, you're still moving normal. You're still going to your analysis. You're still coming out. I mean, I'm sure your family, your parents are warning you, but you're still going out. They were in, stay home, by, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, talking about that, and you know, you and I talk about it, and I was seeing that someone was suggesting that because of what happened that I should, you know, think twice of coming out. But I mean, life had gone, and the worst thing you could do is to isolate yourself, and which could really cause an effect on your health and your social life and everything. I think this month somewhere in it is mental health. And you see, when you're not moving around and socializing and all these things, you know, just to be in the fold of a whole space and Trinidad, it's not easy. You know, a lot of people are suffering from mental health, and talking about mental health, you know, before the COVID pandemic, nobody was really taking mental health seriously. Now you're hearing discussions about it, because you would have seen where during the COVID, how many people were affected, because, you know, during that time, you were not able to go anywhere, and how many people didn't have anyone to communicate or talk to, and, you know, mental health, loneliness, these things are serious things. That's why, you know, you hear things happening to people, you know, taking their life and doing these kind of things. But mental health is a serious thing. for persons with special needs, it does affect us.
Yeah. And all this would have helped if the transport had come for you, this transport that's supposed to come and thing and pick you up, if that was working and come on time, if you had a reliable transportation system for for visually impaired people.
Yeah, it might not they are totally responsible, but I mean, if you could prevent something as much as you can, you do that, and I wish if PTSD could also they need to work on their communication, because at times there are times they would call, there are times they wouldn't call. I mean, I understand these things may happen and all these other things, but I mean, call and say something, because imagine. I'll use this interview as an example. Imagine, okay, as how we were talking and in setting up this interview, I had said to you, we want for the day, which is city. And imagine today would have reached and you would have been trying to get on to me and you were not able to get on to me and I didn't communicate with you to say something. Imagine how that would be. You understand? And I mean, PTSD, you'll need to communicate. If you're able to come and pick me up, say so. If you're not able to come, communicate, say something. I mean, we are adults here. I understand things happen and all these other things, So, I mean, if you're not able to come, you'll need to work on your communication,
So what are some other things you wish that could be, made better for visually impaired people, disabled people out there, or people like yourself?
I would like that more access be given to persons with special needs, whether it be to schooling, jobs, even housing and all the other needs. And I also want to include children, because children are also affected with disabilities. I mean, not enough is being done in this country, and I really hope that this interview will touch someone in government, if they are listening, and really, make life for us better, because we're not any different from anybody else. We may do things in a different way, but we do want to have a life like everybody else, where we can socialize, go to the beach, you name it, We are people too at the end of the day, and I would like the public to understand that.
Yeah, man, I'm super, boy. Well, keep on reading. Something that when is your birthday? When is your birthday?
My birthday has already passed. It's on June the 15th.
Oh, June the 15th. Okay.
Yes.
Right, man. Let's say you're, I know you're talking about radio and stuff. You like to be on radio, but what is a dream of yours besides that? What is a dream? What are you dream? Something that you would like to do or accomplish?
Yeah. Well, radio is one of them. I mean, I love music. I love music as well. What I want to do is, radio is one of my love and media, because I like interacting with people, and I want to inspire people out there to reach their fullest potential. You could be anything and you can achieve anything that you want to achieve.
Nice, man, Ram Sarup. Well, thank you for being here on the Freedom, take care of yourself, and I hope, the powers that be out there hear your plights and hear your crime. We get to do something,
Yeah. Yes. Thanks, I appreciate it very much. And anytime, please, enjoy the rest of the afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the opportunity to do listen to me.
All right, thank you very much, man.
You're welcome.
All right, man, nice. Ram Sarup there, a blind guy that I said helped to walk him to City Gate, and a good guy. I saw we didn't have two lines. You only have one line where you could call and ask him some questions and thing. But yeah, we need to treat the visual, forget St. James and thing, man. Treat visually impaired people on the whole a lot better in this country. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, boy.
Yeah, man.
That man talking there, right?
Yeah.
And I second hand movie, you know, he ain't robbed. He blind, right?
Is he blind? He blind.
So basically, he back up a little. He blind.
Mm-hmm.
He still have a little vision, right?
He what?
He still have a little vision, you know, so I can see a little bit.
No, he's blind, totally blind.
So where are you going now? Let's photo, how you could read?
Explain. You have technology. First of all, they have books with Braille, and there's then the computer technology right now where they have audio books.
Learning something here. So, yeah. Take to the television, you can watch TV too.
If he could watch TV, he can't watch TV, partner. Well, I mean, he watched TV, but he could you know, hear what's going on in the TV.
I do a lot of places where you would concern eye health and things, they bring in back your vision.
Okay, well, I know if you can.
Operation and all these glaucoma, cataract, I'm very keen on health.
Mm-hmm.
So I always follow health. Anything in YouTube, Facebook, yeah. All these things. So, I really go to the guy, man.
Yeah,
man, I feel sorry for him. Because some wicked people already throw a blind man.
Mm. Yeah,
mostly less people, boy. I don't know some kind of bong them down and kill them, you know.
Hey! You can't say that, boy. You ever don't feel sorry for me here? Ask him for pity, you know. If I want to get around, we need to get the services for the visually impaired people up and up and up and running and better. You know? I mean, if he could get, I don't know if he could get a computer home or something, so he could, well, you know, he want to stay home. He want to come out and he like to go, now let's something, because he talk about mental health. He just want to stay home in the four walls, because I'm sure he could get a computer and be home and do his reading there at home. But he want to come out, man, but it would be nice to get the transportation for the visually impaired people working. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon to your listeners. Good interview.
Thank you.
Very good interview. It's a subject, it's something I very careful about because, you know, for those who can see, it's very difficult to have a conversation regarding somebody who is blind.
Mm.
Now, one of the things I would like is higher penalties for anybody interfering with the blind in committing offense on somebody who is blind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that should be a high penalty. That is one. The second thing, I wanted to know at what age he started getting the grant, whether it's at an early time, and whether or not, you know, the question of braille availability, those things, whether or not it's a cost that is aligned to the government. A lot of questions you missed. And I know the point about having the other line would have been, well, there's all our radio station and our two line web anyhow.
One line.
Yeah, one line.
Yeah, one line.
And the other thing, the question of models, because I know in the U.S. or in Canada, actually, they will have a special services under the corporation, under their corporation, under the regional corporations in countries, what they call mayoral district. You have managed travel. Listen, all the responsibility in relation to dealing with people up close and personal, it's available as a service, you know, from your taxes that you pay, you know. There's a vehicle. I don't know whether or not there's a cost alignment. For those of you who live in Canada and like that, it's all your own. Well, you could tell me. In fact, I'll call Mrs. Stan Final. But there's that service available. So, I mean, you talk about wanting more. Do they get housing? These kind of thing. And not only that, there are lots of people out here, base. Just take advantage of the blind, the elderly, and little children. I see the grant they're getting from the government. If this man, I was trying to find out how he actually got blind. He said something about with Mount Hope.
Yeah, when he was a premature baby and they did not cover his eyes.
Right, right. So my thing is that he would have been entitled to not so much compensation and that kind of thing, but he should have been getting allowance from that point in time to his adulthood.
Well, maybe
and
his
who
family
was in
didn't
charge know. Of that at the time?
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of things there that I wish he could have outlined that areas that he felt that he should have gotten more, because people always want more, even the blind man. But I want to keep away from that too much. Anything that we can do to help the blind and people who are incapable of moving around as they should, we should do all of it. But this, it needs strong auditing, because I'm telling you, brother, one of the biggest mischief we have in this country is people who could see and people who are strong taking advantage of people like the elderly and the blind. Good program. I like the interview.
Thank you. All right, but he ain't asking for much, you know. He's not asking for much. He just asking for, you know what I mean, for that service. Because, well, putting it to him, he likes to move about and he likes to go to Nellis and read. He asking for that particular transportation service to be reliable. He could do it a little more with the disability grant. A little more, go out $2,000, boy. Make it a little $2,004, a little $2,005, you know. Hello, more with the disability grant, too, man. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, BSY, only one line.
One line, boy.
Hey, I'm so rude, boy. I'd come and look for you, boy. Neil, I'd come and look for you. I know where he is. I want you to do something with BS. Mm. If you could just send him a number for me now.
Your number?
Yeah, just take it and send it for him now. Ram Sarut.
Right.
I'll come and look for you. That's something that what you do for me about recovering from a little eye surgery. Your boy recovering from a little eye surgery there.
You want him to do something for you?
Yeah. I'll come and look for you, boy, Ram Sarut. I know where this be.
Yeah.
So come and pass and look for you. That's something my number now, please. Boy, Ram Sarut, brother, boy. Bro, when I fall, all it was there for me, brother. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't forget where I come from. That's why I'm not light. And I was appreciative that the little circle, the little time that Ole was there for me, any particular place, I don't want to give out location, that y'all was an upliftment to me, who then born blind. Who then born, it's offensive to call people blind in a modern world. You know what I mean? But say what? Right? So I'm sorry, boy, I don't feel now. We know the challenges. And at the end of the day, Trinidadians will be Trinidadians, and we are developing society. And laugh in your face, say nice with your mama guy, and then papi show you behind your back. Until them get sick, until some after them and their family. Right? So I don't worry. I leave everything in God's hands. So boy, base boy, so Ramsuru, at the end of the $2,000, Ramsuru, for the longest while, you know the struggles, there was a food card, a printed base, a $500 food card.
Okay.
But because the social grants have been, because the Ministry of Social Development, the budget keep growing and growing and growing and growing, then there was a fallout of the pandemic. People are not entitled to grants, and the means test have basically changed as well. The means test now, if you're not renting or you don't have to buy medication or something that the government can't afford base, you're not going to get 2 grants anymore. Now, the peppercorn disability grant is $2,000, which is $47 a day. Right? So that is basically how you have to look at it. You know, it's basically nothing. And then remember, inflation crashed that. You know, living inflation, food inflation. As you say, in our time, as you say, is our grant, in our time where things is tight, is a recurring expenditure. So if they put a 300 or 400 on disability and pension, the social welfare allocation will move from 5 billion to about 7 billion. And then you have to look for that every year. That more debt, that closer to the IMF. So I will say, boy, let me hold we hand. They say next 2 years, 2027, they say a comfort is a promise to a fool. Promises are comfort to a fool. Let me hold we hand and hope that our gas come from Venezuela, they buy Ramsarut. And they'd be able to increase all the social grants together. But base, when we had a surplus in 2002, you know, I bring the facts. Everybody get $1,000 on the social network, from food cards to pensioners to disabled people. That's just a one-off grant. And then before that, everybody got a $300 or $400. I can't remember exactly. All that was within the pandemic and when we had a surplus. Right? So I just want to be fair. Right? By the end of the day, everybody know $2,000 is not adequate to live over the PTSD service. Now in a total shambles, right? And I know get a bus pass, right? So I want to hear what they go say now that are playing blind.
I know
get a bus pass. Mm. So if you're white borough base, I go send it for your Ram Sarut. Mm. Out of vibes here.
Mm-hmm. All right, respect St. James. Somebody say, Base, good afternoon. You are a real humanitarian. I have a special needs grandson, and you remember I was rallying for the El Damo bus service to make life possible for these unfortunate persons. It's only when you are with a loved one in this situation you realize how fragile life is. God bless you richly. All right. A little voice note here. Bam.
And see the dollars, the different dollars.
What?
How does he know the difference in the dollars?
Oh, the dollars.
From the 100 to the 5 to the 1 to the 10 to the...
I think that's feel it. There's Tell my way to just feel it. But I'll ask him. Tell my way to just feel it. I remember in this movie, Ray Boy, with Ray Charles. That's how they taught him a way how to tell the difference with money now. You know?
Imagine that. A partially blind man calling on a permanent blind person for help. A partially blind man getting the same amount of assistance as a fully blind person from birth. A partially blind man still out here fighting down politics and praising those who could do better for those who have the least. A partially blind man still sees a fully blind person as a way of trying to get something more, whereas he could be helping the fully blind man. Partially blind man have the same amount of money that the fully blind man have, but uses his money to call on the radio station 24-0 just to praise a failed government.
Hey, base, what's going on? Well, I'm glad to hear the gentleman speak there, but something I want to advocate for, way, concerning licensing office, way. In the regulations book, if they could put something for drivers where disabled people are concerned on the roadways in letting them cross and all these kind of things, because a few times, well, I with my cane and I'm trying to cross the road, and vehicles not stopping at all, and are trying to put out the cane, and boy, these people coming flying, coming down the road. And, you know, boy, it hard. Not only people with sight problems, but also people on wheelchairs and stuff. I don't know if licensing office could put something in their regulations book for drivers to be aware.
The option isn't following that. Look, I really, pedestrian crossing, and I'm crossing for pedestrians. I walking to and from work every day, and sometimes there's one that bounce me down. I am the pedestrian crossing. I just give them one look, one kind of hard look. Walk and walk, start to walk slow. It's a pedestrian crossing, and some of them doesn't want to slow down at all. Right? Put something anywhere. I mean, it's a good suggestion, but they ain't going to take that on. These people. The newer currency does have Braille on it, so it already accommodates for the visually impaired. All right, so thank you. So yeah, they could feel the thing. Hello, good afternoon.
These people sick, boy. I'm having politics in a socialist, you why?
Oh gosh, I'm thinking, are you bringing your little politics to man come now?
Oh, politics I bring in. I just gen factor the situation.
All right, now. Right,
these people
right,
are gonna be sick, boy. You could swear that man on here. That is mentally, that is the literacy and the stupidity of some people.
Yeah, but I ain't seen your number coming up, you know, message me the number now. If it could.
But base boy, I love when you could swear, force them for everything is hate and vengeance and race.
Yeah, man, you know, I really
he don't know. He don't know what I call it, what I want to see the man for, you know. He don't know. He talking like he know me and know my kind of shit.
All right. Drink some water now. Don't take him on. Oh, God, we was going so good with whole week with no sort of politics thing. Oh, gosh, all year. Rest me with that politics thing now. Fed up.
Good afternoon, base. Well, as a visually impaired person myself,
hey, they're coming out, boy.
I enjoyed the interview. And I hope Mr. St. James can get in touch with him so they can interact with each other and Mr. St. James could learn from him. Well, we take advantage of the technology that we have. We have jaws, there's Braille, there's different features on the phone that we can use. So, we make do with what we have. It's not much, but we make do.
Yeah,
but
life,
places
man.
Like England, their level of technology is cutting edge. Mm. And they treat people with disabilities very differently.
Everywhere else in the world treat people with disabilities differently. I tell you, take our bus in New York and think, when the people in the wheelchair treated like kings. That bus have to stop. Everybody had to go down to the back of the bus, come out of the front, so the people, the bus.